Good morning, everybody. If you have your Bibles with you, the word that we have for this morning can be found in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Let's pray. Lord, bless us today that this will be your word, Father God. Not mine, Lord. Pierce our hearts today, Lord, that we may feel how important this day is. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start by saying that while it is Father's Day today, I would want to think that it is a family day. The reason for that is, while a father plays a pivotal role in the family, he really never become a good father unless everybody in the family takes part in making him one. If you want a great father, then come up with a great family. You know, when God created fathers, he didn't say alone that create a wonderful family. No. That is the basic reason why God also said, wives, love your husbands, submit to your husbands. That is also the basic reason why God told the children, honor thy father and thy mother. That is also the basic reason why husbands, love your wives as you love the church. All of us in the family constitute a certain role in trying to make each one of us the best of God's creation. So the development of a good family is the job of all the members of the family, not just the father. We need to support each other. We need to correct each other. We need to understand each other. And we have to work together to create the best of each other. You want a great dad? It just doesn't happen that way. We make it all happen. That is the dad. That is the father. Happy Father's Day to all of you who are fathers here today with us, and to all those performing the roles of fathers. Now, the roles of fathers, what exactly does a father do? What is exactly are the roles of a father? You know, I think it is much easier to define the roles of a mother, isn't it? When you think of a mother, what would easily come to mind are certain characteristics that focuses on love, compassion, sacrifice, nurturing, caring, supporting. I'm talking about mothers. Including sleepless nights, long suffering, household chores, those are the mothers. So what's left for the fathers? What roles are there for fathers? Really, what do fathers do? What do fathers contribute in a child's life? He rarely fed them, had nothing to do with their sagging diapers. But what does he really do to deserve his children's love and respect? Now, for young kids, for young children, this is what fathers do. He threw them higher than his head until they were too weak from laughter. He cast the deciding vote. Yes, we'll buy a puppy. So important task, eh? He let them make mistakes and then say, oh, that's okay, with a smile. Short of saying, now you know. He allowed them to fall from their first bike ride, then say, come on, you can do it. He takes all the pictures. That's why he isn't always in it. He dances around, funnily, in front of them, trying to elicit laughter. He's the entertainer. And he makes faces just to get them laugh when they're crying. Now, when the kids get older, They remember the more important things that a father does. He is a man that is constantly being observed by his children. The way he talks, the way he walks, the way he carries himself. Children look up to him. How does dad do it? The way he projects himself in front of people. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. They learn from him the reactions when something is wrong. This is the dad. The parents or the children look up to him. How will dad react on this? He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible it seems. Dad, I want to be an astronaut. Okay, that's good. Come on, let's clean the car. He will wake up at the middle of the night to pick them up wherever they are. He will drop everything when his child is stuck somewhere and run out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them until mom says no. You know, once a dad said, okay, children, let's play a contest. We'll give a prize to the one who follows mom every time and the mom who always does what mom does. And the children said, okay, dad, you win. He sets the tone of how a family member or how family members will treat each other, treat the opposite sex or people who are different than they are. With all this, we realize that a father has a potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is that they would walk out of his life. Now, let me share with you a poem whose author is unknown that clearly defines a father's influence over a young child. There are little eyes upon you, and they are watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be like you. You're the model. You're somebody that he wants to become when he grows up. You know, my little granddaughter, Rosa, is a joy to the family. Often I would see her look at her dad so intently, listening to everything that he says. The mind of a child, the eyes of a child, trying to cover everything that the dad says. And then she starts repeating it. Another example is, you know, when we got married, my wife and I called my wife then by her name, Susan. And Clark was growing up until we realized that Clark started calling her Susan. You know, in our culture, we do not call our parents by names. So that's the very reason why we changed to Mama and Papa. Because they follow, because they imitate, because they do whatever they hear, they listen intently, and then they get used to it. If you want your kids to get used to something, okay, then start from when they were young. Because that is the time when you have the formative years. They try to remember everything that you say, everything that you tell them, and that is the time when it's so difficult to change it. So difficult to change it. I think that when a baby is born, he has zero attitude other than cry when he's hungry. Science will always tell us that his DNA composition may be hereditary, that is, following of his parents or ancestors. However, science also agrees that a child's development has an environmental component. What determines how a child develops? Psychologist Kendra Cherry, in her research, says that while it is impossible for us to account for each and every influence that contributes to what or who a child eventually becomes, researchers can do is look at some of the most apparent factors. These include things such as genetics, parenting, experiences, friends, family, education, relationships. These are all the things that fills the entire component of how your child will become or what she will be or he will be when he grows up. By understanding the role that these factors play, researchers are better able to identify how such influences contribute to development. Now, think of these influences as building blocks. While most people tend to have the same basic building blocks, these components can be put together in an infinite number of ways. Consider your own personality. What's your personality? Have you ever thought of, what am I? How do I react to things? How do I say things? How much of you today was shaped by your genetic background? And how much is a result of your lifetime of experiences? So here is where nature versus nurture will come in. This question has puzzled philosophers, psychologists, educators for hundreds of years, and is frequently referred to as the nature versus nurture debate. Are we the result of nature, which is our genetic background, or nurture, our environment? From the earliest moments of life, the interaction of heredity and environment works to shape who children are and who they will become. While the genetic instructions a child inherits from his parents may set out a roadmap for development, the environment can impact how these directions are expressed. What I'm saying, therefore, is however strong our family culture is at home, the environment around our children can basically affect or turn that on a different way. Listen to this. David Blankenhorn, founder of the Institute for American Values, said, "Becoming husbands and fathers is the universal prescription of human societies for the socialization of the male. The most important predictor of criminal behavior is not race, not income, not religious affiliation. It is the father's absence." It is a study conducted among people with criminal behavior. It is not race. It wasn't the religious affiliation. It wasn't anything else, but it's the father's absence that brought a lot of it. It's boys who grow up without their fathers. Is it possible to reconnect fathers to their children? It's tough. It might be, but when they reach a certain age, it is already so tough. How important then is a father to a child's development? Listen to this for those of you who have daughters. In her book, Dads and Daughters, advocate Joe Kelly explains that a father's relationship with his daughter is important because he is the first man she'll ever get to know in her life. In other words, he is the standard for what she will expect of a man and lifelong partner. Kelly encourages fathers to listen to their daughters just as they would with their sons. Talk to them. Talk to your daughters. Sometimes we leave the task with their moms. Oh, she's a girl. Mom, you take care of it. No. Talk to them. Because what they will see in you is what they will look for in their lifelong partner. You see how critical this role is. You see a child, God has given us the responsibility of what that child will become. So much of our time can develop that child. What he will become, what he will be in the future, what his ideas, thoughts, and everything, her desires would be what he will learn from you. How strong he will be, how strong your kids will be. That's the responsibility. While the emotional characteristics may be taken from their mothers, children will get the strength of character, the confidence, resiliency, and courage to go through adversity from their fathers. They will be the bridge over troubled waters. I think for most of you, you know this song. The song by Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. It was composed by Paul Simon, inspired and influenced by the gospel music that he was listening to at that time from the Swan Silver Tones. And it was taken from the 1958 song, Mary, Don't You Weep. The latter has a line, I'll be your bridge over deep water if you trust me, if you trust in my name. Now, I did select this title for today's message, as I see the role of a father to that of a bridge that will connect our children to Christ. Barring all adversities, challenges there might be in their lives. Now, let me explain this. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, Jesus Christ, or Christ, is the bridge between us and God. So Jesus connects man to God. Now, for a bridge to be effective, it has to rest on both chasms, on both chasms of separation. That is why Jesus is totally man and totally God. If he wasn't both man and God, then the bridge to salvation would not be complete. Because Jesus was totally man and totally and completely man, one end of the bridge reached to the man side of the chasm. And because he was totally and completely God, the other end of the bridge reached to the God side of the chasm. So he became man completely, totally, and he is God completely, totally, providing that bridge. If he did not do both roles, then there won't be anyone who will reach God because of that separation. It is only as a man walks across that bridge, the way that Jesus opened up for us through his death on the cross, that he can come into fellowship with the Father. We can come into fellowship with God the Father only through him, only through Jesus Christ. However, before a child learns to cross that bridge between our Savior and the Almighty God, he has to reach this bridge, the starting point. Now, who provides him the opportunity to go through that bridge to learn the man and the and the God in Jesus? This is us. This is the Father. Before a child learns to cross that bridge between our Savior and the Almighty God, he has to reach the one end of the bridge where he could learn to trust in Jesus and make that step to cross the bridge to come to his Heavenly Father. And who will guide him there to reach that end of the bridge to know Jesus? His earthly father. So as fathers, you can just imagine the magnitude of what we can do for our child. We can either shape their faith in God or let them wander in the wilderness. Along their journey through life, they will experience all obstacles while developing their faith in Jesus. Fathers, let us not be one of those obstacles, but rather the bridge that will lead them to the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And these words that I command you today on your heart, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is the role of the father. Here's another poem by Pulpit Helps to very simply define this responsibility, which I would like to consider more as an opportunity to develop a child. Daddy had a little boy. His soul was white as snow. He never went to Sunday school because Daddy wouldn't go. He never heard the word of God that thrills the childish mind. While other children went to class, this child was left behind. As he grew from babe to youth, Dad saw to his dismay, a soul that once was snowy white became a dingy gray. Realizing that his son was lost, Dad tried to win him back. But now the soul that once was white had turned an ugly black. Dad even started back to church and Bible study too. He begged the preacher, "Isn't there a thing you can do?" The preacher tried, failed, and said, "You're just too far behind. I tried to tell you years ago, but you would pay no mind." And so another soul was lost that once was white as snow. Sunday school would have helped, but Daddy wouldn't go. Countless studies show the importance of a father's role in early childhood, and it's now considered to be an important factor in a child's overall social competence, social initiative, social maturity, and the capacity to relate to others. Every child needs an involved and loving father. In our child's life, will we just become a passing acquaintance? Or will we make a dent to be called a dad? Will they tell their children about the kind of dad that we are? You know, there is an old saying which says, one father is more than 100 schoolmasters. Now, if we have then this much influence, you know, over our child's development, then I urge all fathers here today to become that kind which gives hope in every child. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will be discouraged." And how can this happen? Let's start first with the fatherhood of God. I'm done with my introduction, so we're now starting. All human fatherhood should be patterned after the divine fatherhood. The ultimate guide for every father should be to live in such a way that his children can see what God the Father is like. They need to see their human father, a reflection, although imperfect, of the Heavenly Father with his strength and tenderness, with his wrath and mercy, in his patient guidance. Our task as human fathers is to be for our children an image of Father in heaven. Of course, it is a tall order, as none of us can measure. But there is one thing we can do as earthly fathers. We can train our children to always hope in God. in this world, they will go through a lot of challenges, despairs, failures, sufferings, and giving up. Where will they lean upon? To whom will they rest their weary souls? Paul, in Acts 14, 22 to 23, says, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. But while those hardships, we will be going through them," in Romans 5, 24, he also said, "We boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in sufferings because we know that sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope." I'll read you one story. David Kraft was a big, strong man, all muscles. At the age of 32, he was 6 feet, 2 inches tall, and weighed 200 pounds. He had been to seminary and ended up working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes because of his athletic background. Then, he was diagnosed with cancer. It tracked his body, and over a period of time, he dropped from 200 pounds to 80 pounds. When he was about ready to pass from this life into eternity, he asked his father to come into his hospital room. Lying there in bed, he looked up and said, "Dad, do you remember when I was a little boy, how you used to hold me in your arm close to your chest?" David's father nodded. Then David said, "Do you think, Dad, you could do that one more time? One last time." Again, his father nodded. He bent down to pick up his 32-year-old, 6-foot-2-inch son, 80 pounds, and held him close to his chest so that the father's son's face was right up next to the father's face. They were eyeball to eyeball. Tears were streaming down both faces. And the son said to his father, "Dad, thank you for building the kind of character into my life that can enable me to face even a moment like this." The character that we build within our children is the more important thing, the more important legacy that we could leave them. How do they face in times of challenges? How do they measure up? And you know, there's only one thing that we can leave them, the hope in God. Self-confidence. The world teaches our children to develop self-confidence to succeed in life. It's the common thing that the world will tell. You know what? You want to succeed? You should bear self-confidence. As fathers, we can develop in them God confidence, which is a million times far better than trust in ourselves or trust in oneself. At times, our children will be quite unhappy about their inability to appear self-reliant and self-assured and cool and in control. When their confidence is rooted in God, then they learn submission, total dependency, and trust in God that He has better plans for whatever happens in their lives. So the confidence that we are to build into our children is not self-confidence, but confidence by the grace and power of God. For He said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you till the ends of the earth." Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to all these things, to all the challenges, to all the concerns, to all the problems that we meet in this world? What then shall we say? If God is for us, then who can be against us?" If all our children will only feel, "If God is for me, then I can face the world. Who can be against me?" Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Trust in the Lord. That is something that we could always leave our children, trust and hope in the Lord. Some of us fathers fail to be happy and hopeful and confident in God. What we are in relations to God is far more important than any particular parenting technique we try to employ. What we are in relation to God is far more important than any parenting technique. You can be the best fathers theoretically, the best fathers there is that they could tell. But what we are in our relationship with God, with our Savior, diminishes all the parenting techniques that you know. Will our children hope in God if we hope in money? Will our children be happy in God when fishing is a happier experience for us than worship? Will our children be confident in God when our whole demeanor desires to depend only on ourselves or the people around us? The most important work that a father can do for the sake of his children is to be a follower of Christ. The most important strategy for rearing children is for them to develop their hope and dependence upon the Lord. Not in themselves, not in anyone else, but the hope and dependence only upon God. Too early. I'm not closing yet. The most important question that we as fathers can ask ourselves is not, what can I teach my children? That's not the most important question. The most important we can ask is, who am I before the living God? Who am I before the living God and before my children? Who am I in Christ Jesus? Let us take responsibility on this. Let us be the kind of father who gives hope and happiness and confidence to our children because we ourselves have found hope, happiness, and confidence in God. Fathers, let us be the bridge that we lay down for our children, for them to reach the only way, the only truth, and the only life in Jesus Christ, that they may come to the Heavenly Father. In closing, we will play this song, this gospel song. And I hope for all of us fathers, let's pay close attention to the lyrics. Owning them like an assurance to our children as they go through life. Towards the end, we will say, sail on, silver girl, as we release them to own their own world. Yet we still follow them through as we are sailing right behind. Let's play it.
Feeling when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness comes.
Sail on, silver girl, sail on.
I'd like to ask all the fathers here today to please stand up. And for those who are seated, can you just lay your hands upon them or the father beside you? Our Heavenly Father, you have given us the role to be you in this world. Today, O Lord, we just lift up to you the fathers here today. Strengthen them, Lord. Anoint them, O God, that they may really fulfill the roles that you have given them. We pray for the entire family, Lord, that they may be supported, that they may be understood, that they may be given the time to act like fathers. Lord, as you have given them the responsibility, as you have given us the responsibility to be you, Father, we ask for your strength. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your wisdom, that we may all as fathers be able to raise our children closer to you. Father, let us be that bridge over every trouble that will come upon our children, that we may strengthen them to reach the chasm for them to know our Lord and Savior. And by so doing, they will know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Father's Day. And today we will celebrate because of your goodness. Today we will rejoice because you are our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for this role that you have given us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have a wonderful Father's Day and join us for coffee.